Hey, bro, how are you, bro?
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Keep it in your pants.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I didn't understand anything you said.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's talk some football. You've been down there every day, haven't you?
Every day, just got here. You know, it would be really helpful if you guys broadcast from there once in a while.
The midday does a snappy job. They do a stand-up job of bringing us everything from Patriots camp midday. So, you know, you could have just finagled something there where you just stay at the desk down there and we talk to you down the line.
Could have done that.
Yeah, well, too late. So, we got Marshall Hook in our update studios as well. Let's talk some football, Bedard. Let's start with the quarterbacks, all the quarterbacks. And I think there's relevant issues with all three of them between Jacoby Brissett's job security, Jimmy Garoppolo's play and or demeanor, and Tom Brady and how he's handled the concussion questions here so far at camp. Let's just start with Garoppolo, because I think that's on the front burner right now. How has he looked the last couple days? Because reports over the first week, not so good. He was one of your downs. He was one of your duds in three up and three down last week. And you hear Zoe talk about his comportment after practices. And is he just going through the motions? Start with Garoppolo. What have you seen?
I thought pretty much what everybody else did. I thought that he struggled for much of practice. You know, I think he was good for the first half of the first practice. Since then, he hasn't been good. And in the intra-squad scrimmage last week, he was abysmal, I would say. He was really not good. I will say that in the limited snaps, and just leave it to TB12 not to give him any snaps against the Jaguars, I thought Garoppolo would get more today after Brady had a heavy load yesterday. But no, he still got pretty much backup snaps. But I will say I thought he was better the past 2 days against the Jaguars in limited snaps. And I talked to him alone yesterday after practice, wrote up a story. You know, I talked to him about sort of his mindset, because I think it would be natural. You know, it's just a totally different situation. Last year, he knew, game one, Arizona, I'm the starter. First four games, if I'm healthy, I'm the starter. This year, he walks out there and TB12's out there every single day. And so he really wouldn't give in to that. He said, you know, the sense of urgency, like if you don't have it, you're going to be finished around here. He said that he has it, and he said all the right things. I did think it was interesting, and the reason why I wanted to talk to him was because, look, his contract's up after this season. Blake Bortles they picked up their fifth-year option, but they can get out of it. So he's going against a team with a lot of cap space that could be looking for a quarterback next year. And he said that it wasn't really on his mind, but I think it was, and I think he wanted to be out there a little bit more.
So you really do think that there is something to that, that there's maybe disappointment or maybe even entitlement in him knowing, well, if it's not here, then somewhere else I'm going to be able to get a big deal and be a starter somewhere after this season.
I don't know about the entitlement part, but I do think part of his mindset is, you know, we talked about this because I brought up the Mike McCarthy quote that I remember from, you know, when the Packers traded Favre to the Jets after he unretired. I remember, and I put the quote in the story, McCarthy said something about, like, look, Aaron's been sitting. He's been in this offense. It's time for him to play games. And I asked Jimmy about that. I said, do you think there's some truth to that, that you get to a point and it's time to play? And he said, I would say eager is the right word.
So it would be more frustrated than entitled.
Yes. I think there's a little bit of frustration there, but I don't think it's an issue. I understand some of Zoe's criticisms of him, and I don't disagree, but you know, I just think it's a tough comparison. I mean, you're going to hold him up to Brady? Everybody's going to look like a slacker compared to Brady. I mean, outside of maybe Peyton Manning. So it is what it is. But I will say that I think the spotlight will be on him when the preseason games start. And, you know, even last year, we talked about it before the lead up to Arizona. He wasn't that great in the preseason games either. You know, I would like to see some development from him. People around the league will expect to see a sharper Jimmy Garoppolo, and we'll have to see what happens.
Okay, we're talking football with Bedard. First couple hours of the show, you want to jump in on anything? We're starting with some of the quarterback stuff, but you got anything football-related for Greg? Give him a jingle, 617-779-0985. Do you believe Jacoby Brissett's roster spot is in jeopardy?
You know, I missed Bill's comments, so you know, hopefully we'll play him at some point.
It was pretty mild. He's basically said he's a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. He has not stood out really. I mean, he's had a couple nice deep passes, the Devin Lucian at times. That's sort of Jacoby's bread and butter. But I'll say he's just been average, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, this roster's stacked, and there are some younger players that might deserve a roster spot and they might need a further look. And so does Brissett's spot come into question at that time? I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I still think he's going to be here, but I think Bill's trying to light a fire under him a little bit.
Well, and I'm sorry.
Well, just real quick, what remains the biggest flaw with the player? Is it the delivery?
I would say it's decision making. He's very slow. He holds on to the ball. I will say that that's been a constant theme for all these guys, including Brady. I mean, everybody likes to trot out, you know, Brady's stats. He was awesome today. I mean, in every practice, you can pick out five or six plays where Tom held the ball forever and unloaded and made a completion. Same with Jimmy. And so in game situation, would that be the case? Probably not. But I think that Brissett, he takes a long time. He's not processing quickly enough. And you think that you would see a little bit more progress on that front going into this year.
Third round pick, strongly recommended by Bill Parcells. And you think there's a shot. You know, he doesn't make the team. Also, they said this afternoon, Beadle and Zoe again, that or Beadle thinks he could clear waivers and land on the practice squad.
I think that's definitely possible.
Really?
Yeah.
That there would be no, not even as a third guy somewhere to pick up some, you know, Patriots magic dust to take a, no.
Everybody loves, for some reason, everybody loves their guys. And it's, you know, it's one of the flaws in the league. But, you know, especially once you get to this point, it's tough. Unless you know a guy is going to come in and really contribute. I mean, I could see a team like Cleveland claiming him or something like that. You know, they're in the, they seem to be in the market of just accumulating guys and seeing how they work. It's the whole money ball thing. But I do think there's a chance that he could wind up back here.
Finally, your reaction to Tom Brady telling us that his concussions are none of our business.
I don't really care. I mean, you know, it's in the past. I mean, you know, look, if Tom missed any time, and I'm this way with anything on the injury report, if and including like Richard Sherman mm-hmm. in Seattle, I mean, if there's no danger of the guy missing any time or really any practice time, and Brady hasn't missed that much, then I don't think he needs to be listed on the practice report. If he's not quote unquote in the concussion protocol, then I don't really think they're under any obligation to report, and so I'm okay with it.
How about as someone who sells us products and a lifestyle, literally sells us a lifestyle that says prevents injuries, including concussions. And then when he's asked about the concussions his wife said he's had, he says, none of your business.
Well, I do think he gets himself into a gray area with that stuff. I mean, that's why, you know, when I cover these guys, whether it's somebody who's out there as, you know, I'm the greatest family guy ever, or, you know, I have all the answers as far as health stuff, like, you know, you put yourself out there like that, people are going to take their shots. And so you have to be ready for those shots. So, you know, if Brady's going to be out there as marketing books and all this stuff, anytime his health comes into question, people are going to sling arrows. And he just has to deal with it.
And I think it's totally legit, this end of it. I don't care about the injury report thing. I don't care about that either. But to me, again, when he says, especially with the concussion water, but even just his brain exercises and the whole TB12 method, this method works. It helps prevent injuries. As an example, look at me. And then his wife comes out and says he has concussions pretty much every year. And so they say, well, Tom, is it working for you? None of your business. I mean, how do you not get called out on that?
Right. And I also think it's ridiculous that, you know, he talks about how he's so keyed on prevention and stuff like that. Like, you're a quarterback. You don't get hit in practice. You don't get... You know, how many hits do you really take in the course of a season? And, like, you know, you can't really say, well, I'm doing it the right way. And, you know, these offensive linemen who are banging heads with subconcussive hits on every play in practice and in the games, you know, it's apples and oranges. You can't really compare.
Felger and Mez. Felger and Mez. Radio.com. Radio.com.
To your ears.
Blood force drive! It'll run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
What are your thoughts on just the development you've seen year one to year two with Jacoby Brissett?
Well, it's a work in progress. We'll see. I mean, we're a little over a week into training camp. 10-11 practices, so we have a long way to go. We'll see.
Work in progress. So that's an excellent point. He was. Bill was pumping his tires big time last year.
That's why I'm a little surprised that he would be on the chopping block. I get it. Like, he's got these issues, and like you said, he's having a hard time, you know, going through the reads and everything else. But the athleticism, the toughness, played with the busted thumb, came recommended from Bill Parcells in a third-round draft pick. I figured they'd hang on to a little bit longer, but it sounds like, based on Zoe and even that, it's not really a ringing endorsement.
Maybe they're motivating him, too.
Yeah, I don't think he's in that much danger. I think it's, look, people are looking for things to talk about with the Patriots because there's only so much you can talk about, you know, Brady and Brandon Cooks and this and that. And so, you know, they're trying to latch on. I don't think he's...
Well, I disagree
knows?
With you there, pal. I think it's a real story. And we'll see. If he misses the team, if he misses the cut, even if he goes to the practice squad and no one else claims him, that's a big story. People thought last year that this was the next guy, if you know what I mean. Parcells recommended, third-round pick. Belichick saying all that great stuff about him. Everyone made a big deal about him traveling with the team at the end of the year. Like that was some sort of sign that, you know, he's in. And now the next year, Bell's like, work in progress. And that thing with the NFL Network or SiriusXM the other day where he says, hey, different circumstance this year. Last year he had a roster spot. This year he doesn't. You know, you don't know. And if, you know, a year later he's not even on the team, that's a story. That's not latching on to nothing. We'll latch on to nothing plenty. I don't think that's a latch on to nothing.
We're talking about the third string quarterback.
That's what August is about. What else do you talk about? It's the backup quarterbacks. Like, that's what August is for. What do your backups look like?
Wasn't like a week ago, weren't some people like insinuating that maybe Brissett is inching ahead of Garoppolo?
Yes.
Or
oh, yeah. Tangway.
Like
Tangway had him as the next guy. Yes.
Oh,
Manny and Littleton, lead us off today. What do you got?
Yeah, I was thinking, what if this preseason Jimmy G's a bust, right? His value goes down.
Right.
You don't think they're going to – they won't franchise him for $22 million like Zoe was saying the other day. But if he is a bust this year and he just – last year he only caught lightning in the bottle in six quarters or whatever. What if this year he is a bust?
Changes the dynamic, Manny. I mean, if last year they could get the 12th overall pick from Cleveland and another high pick – and if Garoppolo doesn't play a down this year in the regular season and sucks in the preseason, I mean, his value is going to go down either way with his contract coming up, but it could really take a hit.
I mean, there's no question. It'll be interesting to see what happens because I remember us having this conversation in the lead up to the Arizona game where I was just like, he hasn't really impressed me that much this preseason, and he was kind of underwhelming in the preseason and in the practices. But all of a sudden, the lights came on, and you know they won on the road at Arizona, and then – you know, he was lights out against the Dolphins, you know, for two quarters. And so, yeah, this whole calculation, we've been talking about all offseason. I mean, it's just, it's really interesting about, you know, the Patriots decided not to sell high on him. And so what does Bill know that we don't know? I mean, that's what I just keep asking myself because he always knows something.
Liam in Acton on the running back situation. Hi, Liam.
Hi. Yeah, so I was at practice the last couple of days. I saw a lot of good things out of all the running backs. I was just curious who's going to be, you know, like the bell cow this year in Blunt's absence. And also, I'm curious as to where Gillisley is. I've heard good things about him, but I haven't seen him at practice at all.
Gillisley, hasn't he been out there?
Not in a long time. And actually, that reminded me. I was going to make him one of my three downs because, dude, where are you? I mean, he hasn't been out there in... I don't know, 10 days, something like that.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, they're doing a lot of other work. I mean, right now it's Brandon Bolden's the feature back with a little bit of Rex Burkhead in there. And, you know, Gillisley looked the part the first few days. And then since then, he's been on the rehab field and he doesn't look like he's close to returning. I mean, you get the sense like Malcolm Butler today worked a little bit one-on-ones against the Jaguars DBs. He wasn't in team drills and things like that. But Gillisley, you don't get the sense that he's close. And, you know, look, they signed him to that tender offer, and you know, they need to get some production out of him. I mean, of course, we're saying this now, and he'll be out there and run for 200 yards in the opener. But you just wonder, when is he going to get out there? He doesn't seem close.
So there is something then to that depth chart that popped up the other day, and it had him third. And, you know, some of the beat guys were like, don't make anything about it. It's just practice
so was
right
it
now.
Burkhead, White? Gillisley, something like that?
Yeah, Gillisley was the third running back, which I kind of found.
Are you really talking about the Patriots preseason depth chart?
Yes.
Why?
It's
August 8th. We need something to talk about.
It's not just
Stacey James does it.
No. If I need something to talk about, I'll pull something deeper out of my ass. No. They publish a depth chart. That is a team website that publishes a depth chart.
By Stacey James.
It's unofficial. No, you think that it's above someone on the Patriots to tinker with that thing? to if they're message sending or just, you know, the way they think out there. Do you think they allow anything out on Patriots.com without Bears or someone, you know, running that through the ringer? Are you kidding me? They read Patriots.com. I know they read Patriots.com. They influence Patriots.com. I know this for a fact.
You guys can go nuts with the depth chart. I mean, I need to sit down and, like, because really I think it's by either years of service or age or something. That's normally how they do it in the preseason. And Gillislee being third behind, who did you say is behind?
He was behind Burkhead. I know that.
Who's two? Do you know?
Two was Burkhead.
I think Burkhead's been in the league 4 years.
It must have been White. Let me pull it up. Give me a second.
But look, Gillislee hasn't been out there. So wherever he is on the depth chart, he's not on the field.
If you're looking for fodder on your new website, go to the Patriots depth chart every now and then. There's something that there's always, I remember in the past, there's just been things that, why'd they do that? Why is that guy there? And I said to myself, man, they're just screwing around with us. You know, I won't repeat myself, but that's what they do. John in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John. There's some fodder there. That's all I'm trying to tell you, Bedard. Tip for your website. John in New Hampshire on the concussion thing. Go ahead.
Hi. I was talking about Tom Brady and his concussion you guys were talking about earlier. I think he did have a concussion. He just didn't want anyone to know about it. It's just a thing that in the future, he's turning 40 years old. So what we need to do is we need to have a close eye on him and see if he has any injuries at all, because anything just might backfire instantly.
Okay. He obviously had concussions, and I don't mind that he didn't admit to the concussions. That's not the part. It's just the phraseology there. Really none of your business, which is just so fraudulent when he's made his health our business when he's trying to sell us something. When he's trying to sell us something, he'll put his health on the front burner. Look at me and look at my methods and look at how it's worked. And then we ask him how it's worked when it looks like he has been hurt. He says, well, none of your business. That's just false advertising. It's fraudulent. So I mean, he deserves to be called out on that. So if there, and you said this yesterday, Murray, you're right. If there's just a different way to say it, you know, I mean, there's a different way to talk around that. Look, it's a complicated issue. It's a big issue. It's an important issue. There's confidentiality things that I probably should stay within, but just understand that I believe it's an important issue and something that, you know, we all look at strongly.
Give it the John Farrell turd polish
of treatment. Give it a John Farrell 2-minute non-answer. But when you say it's none of your business after telling us for years that your methods have kept you healthy.
It sounds defiant.
And it looks like you haven't stayed healthy, according to your wife. Well, you can't. You just simply can't have it both ways on that.
Well, I do agree that his phraseology was not good because, look, you're a football player on a team. There's an injury report. Your injuries are public knowledge. I mean, they have to be stated publicly. I mean, it's part of the conversation. You don't have privacy in terms of injuries incurred during football that affect your job. You just don't.
No, you're right. It's true. It's not a true HIPAA situation. If you're hurt, they put the injury on the injury report and they let you know, you know, where you are, 50%, all that. So, I mean, it's true. Albert in Rhode Island, what do you got for us?
Good afternoon, guys. It's really sad, and Greg, if you agree with me, let me know. I actually believe all the calls that you guys have been getting for about the last week regarding Jimmy Garoppolo's preseason performance in camp, not even preseason, in camp. I think Patriots fans actually want the demise of Jimmy to come quicker because that means you can go back to defending the wall, which is Brady, and you get to keep Boy Wonder. And it's such bad form by a bunch of Saturdays are for the boys, hashtag Sunday fun day, millennial stupid fan base. You show such a no perspective, no vision. You can't look ahead. It's all about TB12. It's such a bad look for such a stupid, stupid fan base. It really is.
Okay. I don't get half of that. I don't understand the analogies he's drawing.
I don't know about his whole analogy to Barstool and stuff like that, but I will say I do think that they're related to Garoppolo and his struggles. I do think there is a certain tinge from the Brady fan base that like it because they don't want to hear any talk about how Tom won't be the quarterback next season or the year after that. They want Tom to be the guy, and that's fine. You know, but I do think that's part of it in discussing. And I even think some of it out of Zoe. He's a Brady guy.
No question.
I think there's a portion of that that's related.
Well, Brady has said he's going to play till 45, guys. So he's going to play until he's 45.
Maybe
period.
50.
End of story. So that's why. Who needs Garoppolo?
Well, I guess, okay. So we're talking about those fans. The boo-hoo Brady crew is what I would call them. I don't know what Saturday or for the boys has to do with that. But the Boohoo Brady crew, my favorite part of the whole story, the whole Garoppolo story, is that these folks just can't wrap their heads around the possibility that Bill looks at Brady and says he's 40. He's 40 and he can't do this forever. I don't trust that he can do it to 45. They can't accept that because they have ultimate trust in Belichick, as they should. And Brady's their god, so you can't they can't square that in their head.
Well, they refuse to look back at history because Belichick actually has the history on his side because no one's really been able to do it.
Let's continue with Bedard, 3 up, 3 down, the last couple days of camp, coming up right after the update here from Marshall Hook.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. Thanks for ending your work day with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com. Now, it's time for 3 up.
Throws down the middle for Edmund. Ball's tipped. And Julian diving for it. Did he make the catch?
He did.
3 down.
Airborne to the uprights. And the kick bangs off the right upright. The reading.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 up.
Driving forward. Diving to the goal line. It's still
a touchdown. And a title.
3 down.
Jackets at the Garoppolo. Throws down the middle. And it's deflected and nearly intercepted before it was nearly caught by Edelman.
That's 3 weeks in a row.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Let's do this quickly. Guys who are excelling or struggling at camp so far, second week. Bedard gives it to us. He's been going over his charts, so he has it all in. First of all, just back to the running back thing. Good friend of mine, Hector Longo, covers the Patriots for Lawrence Eagle Tribune. Still? He did for years? I can't remember where he writes.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is now, but he's been out there.
Sunday's first depth chart of the year. So Sunday, Patriots.com releases the depth chart that has Gillislee as the second starting running back, if you will. Like you said, they have RB1, RB2.
Yeah.
And it was White and Gillislee as the first guy at each thing. Monday, says Hector, the Belichick-laced switch. Gillislee went to third on the RB1 line, and so he dropped 3 spots in 24 hours the next day. So, yes, Bears and Bill stepped in and bumped Gillislee from 2 down to 5 on the RB depth chart. Definitely something to read into there. I'm telling you, they do it. They do it.
The guy hasn't been out there. What do you expect?
I'm telling you, that's not just Andy Hart and Paul Prillo.
Whatever.
And I don't know that for a fact. It's just my guess because I know that they tinker with that site. They do. They do tinker with that site. And why not? And what's so wrong with it? If they are, what's so wrong with that?
I'm not reading anything into anything.
Well, that's
because
your
problem. The guy hasn't been
it's
on the field.
It's time for you to start reading into things,
no,
Bedard.
Not when the guy hasn't been on the field. If he's been out there and he's been fumbling and stepping over himself, then I'll read into it. But
boy, that was a
just
quick
because
demotion.
He hasn't been out here.
That was a quick demotion.
He hasn't been on the field.
That was a quick. All of a sudden, he goes from 2 to 5.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Seriously, in 24 hours, and that's before he really got hurt. You knew how hurt he was? I don't know. I'm with Hector. Good job, Hector. You do your thing. All right, 3 up, 3 down, Bedard. Who's your number one star?
Brady.
Wow, that was tough. You had to dig deep on that one.
Yep, dig deep into the charts for that. He's been great. I mean, he's just been in total control, and he's working all his receivers in, and he's really got something going with Cooks.
Okay, no elaboration needed. 2.
Brandon Cooks. He's just nice defense by the Jaguars, but he just keeps running by people, and, you know, he hasn't been sensational. He's had a few drops, or I think it was yesterday, he eased up. He got behind the defense, eased up a little bit, and caused a little bit of an overthrow, but in general, he made a one-handed catch. He's tough to cover. He's been really good as far as short area quickness, better than we thought, because really he's just more of a deep threat, but he can do a lot of different things, so he's been great.
Who would you compare him to in the past?
Price wrote this on our site. He sees him as more of Deion Branch than Randy Moss.
Oh,
ooh, that's perfect.
Like early Deion Branch.
Good. Deion Branch was better than Randy Moss. Sorry. He's a more productive Patriots receiver for a longer amount of time.
I do think he can do that stuff, but and like I wrote before camp started, he's here to give them more chunk plays because that's where they sort of slacked off. And even A.J. Bouye, the Jaguars cornerback who was with the Texans last year, talked after practice yesterday, and he said he brings them a deep element that they haven't had. Like, they got to play a lot softer in the secondary now with him there, where they didn't have to worry about that last year.
So that's not what I... So to me, that's not what that would mean if you're Branch over Moss. If you're Branch over Moss, you get open and catch the ball. It's sort of a,
yeah,
you know, Branch was far more willing to go across the middle, far more willing to run in cuts, take a hit. You know, he was just that simple thing of get open and catch the ball. He was a low maintenance number one receiver that didn't open his yapper, didn't demand the ball, wasn't a pain in the ass, didn't shut it down. He'd run the routes precisely. Brady knew where he was going to be, and he caught the ball. I loved just that type of receiver versus just the home run hitter and Moss. And at the first sign of trouble, he shuts it down because he's such a dog. Like, I just the contrast between those two players is just so clear to me. I was hoping it meant Cooks was more like Branch in that regard.
I will say, after you've just stated that, yes, he is more like Branch. He does a little bit of everything, including, you know, I remember last year looking at the Football Outsider stats, his catch rate is the same in the middle of the field as it is on the outside. Where guys like Edelman, that is not true. His drop rate goes way down on the outside. Cooks can do it inside, outside, and we've seen him also run the ball at times.
Third stud.
I'll just give it to the Patriots secondary overall, especially once Daron Harmon came back from injury, because Gilmore and Butler are all over their receivers. I mean, Gilmore, sometimes he's been underwhelming, but Butler overall has been very good. And then now what we have is those three safeties, Chung, McCourty, and Harmon. What we've seen, and I talked to Harmon about it yesterday, and I think Chris talked to McCourty about it today, and they confirmed that those three safeties are now more interchangeable, because we used to just see Harmon come in as the free safety, Chung would go down and play linebacker, McCourty would be the robber sort of in the middle of the field. Now they're switching all three, so the offense doesn't know, there's no indicator. And that also transfers to the offensive side of the ball, because that's why they like Burkhead, because he can do a little bit of everything, because before it would be Blunt's in the game, they're running.
Who's better, Gilmore?
James White's in the game, they're passing.
Back to the secondary, who's better, Gilmore or Malcolm Butler?
Butler. By a good margin in
you
my
think,
mind.
You think Butler's better than Stephon Gilmore?
So far, yes.
Are my eyes deceiving me from what I've read? But is Cyrus Jones looking pretty good
he
back there,
too? He has looked pretty good. And he's making progress in the kicking game. They are giving him every chance. And, you know, because most people would have buried him and been gone after last year. He's out there every practice. They're giving him reps. And I think it's because when the guy gets the ball in his hands, he is electric. I mean, we're talking not on the same level, but he reminds you a little bit of Deion Sanders with the ball in his hands. And so they're giving him every chance. And so far, he's catching it better. Now let's see what happens once they start playing games.
Three duds. Number one.
The backup left tackles, LaAdrian Waddle and Cam Fleming, they've just been terrible when they sold her out. I mean, especially Fleming. He got the first shot at left tackle. He was so bad. Waddle got it. Then Waddle gave it back up to Fleming. And then today, Waddle was back out there. They're not good.
Second dud.
Jordan Richards, the safety. Now, this is related to Harmon, because when Harmon was out with the knee injury, Richards was out there, and he can't cover at all. He gets burned all the time. And then you could see the big difference once Harmon came back. They had everything all locked down in the secondary.
Third dud.
Steven Goskowski.
Oh.
Had two misses yesterday. They were from deep, but back-to-back, he pulled two long field goals left. He's been inconsistent this camp. You thought that you would see him rebound a little bit from last year. So far, not so. That's not the case.
There's no competition for him.
I keep saying the same thing. I can't. Everyone gets competition except for this guy.
Somewhere, Tony Maserati just got so excited. And he doesn't.
And I don't think Ryan Allen, the punter, has been all that great in training camp either, and he has no competition.
So, punter's one thing. Yeah, I mean, everyone gets competition. Brady's gotten competition in the last year, couple years. He's gotten some competition. But somehow the kicker doesn't. Like, that's Bill's guy. Like, he is protective of Goskowski.
I will say that's one of those positions where, and I've seen it done in the past with, like, the Packers when I covered them. I don't know what Goskowski's contract status is, whether he's cuttable or not. But that's a position where you could cut somebody late and sign somebody and have a new kicker.
Sure. Last year, I think his money was guaranteed. I'm not sure about this year. I'm not sure if the guaranteed money has run out or not. But either way, there you go. There's an update from camp from Bedard. We're talking football with him. You want to join us and ask him anything on the Pats? By all means, join us at 617-779-0985. Back to you right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Radio.com. Felger and Maz on 98.5. 93.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Brady was asked flat out by our colleague Mike Reese whether Gisele Bündchen's statement that her husband had suffered concussions was indeed accurate. Tom Brady's response, it's none of your business. The hell it isn't, Tom.
Okay, we're talking about that. Greg Bedard and Steer talk all things Patriots, including Brady's reaction to the concussion story the other day. Here's Mike in Danvers, though, on Brissett. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, hi. How you doing, guys? Good show. But first of all, the whole Belichick thing. Listen, he's a master motivator, and he uses the media sometimes to get his messages to his players. When you have a 40-year-old starting quarterback, a second-string quarterback who's up today, down tomorrow, and unhappy, then you need to have a third-string quarterback. And if your third-string quarterback is not performing in your eyes, you find a way to get a message to him. And I think that's all Belichick did here, is he just sent a message to Brissett. So I'd like you to talk about that. And the only other thing I'd like to say is, has everyone forgot about Deion Lewis? I mean, where is Deion Lewis? No one's talking about him.
How's he look, Craig? Deion Lewis.
He's been pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I would say he started a little slowly, but he caught a couple passes out of the backfield today, gave some, you know, jitter steps to the defender. I mean, he looked normal. So, you know, it's all good. It's just, you know, they have a plethora of guys who can do a lot of things. And so it's complicated.
Okay. Bill could absolutely be sending a message to Brissett. We'll find out. With the final cuts come down in a couple weeks, he's not on the team. He was not just sending a message. He was for real. But we'll find out in time for sure. Peter in the Vineyard. Go ahead on the Patriots D-line.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show. Greg, a specific question. Tell me about Geno Grissom. How's he doing?
Ordinary. You know, he looks the part. Tremendous athlete. You know, when he stretches, he's got unbelievable flexibility. And he's a bit short-armed.
Holy crap. You're scouting his stretching?
Yeah. You know, I try to get all the information I can.
Keep going. Pay attention to the depth chart. That's my next bit of advice to you.
He's a very good guy. I want him to do well.
Yeah, I mean, he's had his high moments, but I will say, you know, I think he's getting engulfed by guys like Dietrich Wise and even the kid Harvey Longy, the undrafted kid, has been out there a lot. Derek Rivers has started to get a little bit more playing time in the past couple days, and Grissom has just sort of been out there. He was in the mix a lot at the beginning. He's been sort of MIA since.
Boy, you on this Dietrich Wise, though? Holy crap. This thing you wrote the other day, folks out there, if you haven't subscribed to the Boston Sports Journal, do it. I highly recommend it because Greg has lost his mind. Dietrich Wise, fourth-round pick out of Arkansas?
Yep.
Okay, defensive end / outside linebacker, which one is
it? Yeah, he does a little bit of everything.
Okay, big guy, big long guy, has really flashed in the first week of camp. But Greg Bedard, holy moly, he writes a thing the other day about Dietrich Wise where he says, you know, here are the caveats. It's haven't played a game. They have only a couple practices with pads, blah, blah, blah. Okay, good. Now that that's out, all out of the way, we have something to say. Dietrich Wise Jr., the Patriots' rookie fourth-round pick, not only has an opportunity to be a major contributor for the team this season, he has a real chance to be a star for years to come. No, I haven't gone crazy, and no, I haven't been drinking the Kraft-flavored Kool-Aid upon my reintroduction to the Patriots beat. I've just been at practice every day, and Wise's talent and impactful play has been so overwhelming to this point that you'd be an idiot or overly cautious not to draw the same conclusion. So I'm an idiot if I think this guy's not going to be a star for years to come. You say Wise has been just terrific. Let us count the ways. And then you go, how many words was this thing? Like 5,000 words.
No,
one.
No, it wasn't that long.
One, length. This is an enormous young athlete. It's like he's getting all, like, greased up.
Oh, he previewed the column a little bit with Gasper and me this past Saturday.
God.
I thought he was going to need a cigarette afterwards.
Let us count the ways. Length. This is an enormous young athlete. At the combine, he was measured at 6'5", 274 pounds, with arms nearly 36 inches and 10.5-inch hands. Those are huge, he says. Those arms and those hands have been a tough combination for blockers and quarterbacks alike. Wise has altered a half dozen Tom Brady passes to this point. He's also very strong. Basically, he appears to be some sort of football version of a transformer.
That's what he looks like on the field. He looks like if you put together like a, you know, somebody was saying like one of those Madden guys like in the game. That's what he would look like. All that's missing is, and he'll probably have it in the games, a visor.
Number two, natural instincts. He's not overly quick getting off the ball, but there's something about him, writes Greg. Perhaps it's genes. His father was the ninth round pick of the Seahawks in 98 and played for the CFL. That gives you elite genes?
Better than you. Better than your genes.
Well, that's true. Most tall players have trouble against offensive linemen because of the difference in leverage, but through a combination of advanced handwork and impressive balance, he's able to get on the edge of players and close quickly. Consistency. Each day you expect Wise to have an off practice and be invisible, but Wise keeps stacking success and being impactful every season. That's rare for a rookie. Comfort with the scheme. This to me is the most important. On and on.
He sounds like a young Javon Curse.
Seriously. Also, easygoing. This is another thing. He's going easygoing. Well, I've learned my lessons over the years about putting too much stock into the personalities of players because we never truly know them. Weiss appears to be the genuine article. He's polite, quick with a smile or a laugh, and actually appears to be a nice person. Add all this up, and you think this guy's going to be a star.
I think he, of course I wrote that, and then the last 2 days of practice, he's been okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, I mean, he did have a sack today in team drills, and he did, I saw one one-on-one he won. But, you know, I mean, maybe it's because the rest of the defensive line has been so lackluster outside of Lawrence Guy, but he's been terrific so far. And the thing that's most impressive about him, and I talked about it in there, is about the scheme. You know, they have had him everywhere from nine technique, like wide nine outside the tight end, to shading the center at the one technique. For a fourth round pick, like a week into camp, they were doing, that's unheard of, you know, in my mind. I haven't seen that a whole bunch. And, you know, you talk to these other guys like Longy, Rivers. These guys are swimming with what the Patriots...
These are other rookie defensive players that they've taken.
What the Patriots asked them to do as far as rushing and taking care of this and dropping. Weiss has no problem with it. You know, it comes naturally to him. He has been constantly generating pressure. He's been giving Brady's all sorts of frustration getting into his throwing lanes. And so what we've seen is he's been on the outside on early downs sometimes. But they really like him as an interior pass rusher. And I do think that he has the potential to be sort of the guy, you know, a star this year. And then once fans see him on the field and they see him in interviews and other type situations, I think they're going to really like him.
Okay, pick to click. You heard it from Bedard first. Dedrick Wise Jr. Ron in New Bedford on the quarterback situation. Hi, Ron.
Yes, I'd like to say that I think they should have drafted Dak Prescott. He had the opportunity to, because he went in the fourth round. They drafted Jacoby in the third round. It would have changed everything around because he would have been, you know, he would have been behind Jimmy G, and they could have traded Jimmy G.
So did they miss on Dak Prescott, them and every other team, including Dallas? Because if Dallas thought Dak Prescott was Dak Prescott, they would have taken him in the first or second round, not the fourth.
Oh, yeah. And even when, who was it, the backup got hurt, Kellen Moore, I think, they tried to trade for other quarterbacks and got rebuffed, and then they sort of had to play Dak by default, and then he was terrific. They didn't know what they had.
And nobody thought that they were going to get that out of Dak Prescott. Cody Kessler went before him.
Pete in Essex, what do you think of Brady and the concussions?
Let me ask you this, Mike. Boomer Esiason comments aside, in regards to Brady specifically, what hit did he take last year that made you think he was concussed or not himself? We're talking about a guy who, you know, he's been more fleet of foot lately. But he's not a running quarterback. This is not Cam Newton. He doesn't get touched during the week. And I'm just wondering, did you have any of these thoughts that he may have been concussed before Giselle did her interview? You know, like, what is it
right
you're saying?
All right, okay, if you stop, I'll answer. The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, he took a shot. Zolak mentioned it on the telecast or the radio broadcast here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So there was a shot late in the Super Bowl that he took that he was clearly woozy on. But just because you can't tell a player's concussed means you don't think that he has gotten concussions?
No, but you know, I think her comments in the same way that at the end of an episode here, I might say, Felger, I could kill you. I'm not going to kill you. I mean, I'm not, you know, you're not going to do that. I think when she was asked in the interview, and she made the comment, he gets concussions every year.
You don't think that he has gotten multiple concussions over his career, Pete?
Of course I do.
Okay, so we agree. I don't get what we're arguing about.
No. But, Mike, if we're saying he gets them every year, what I'm asking is, what game, what instance was he staring at the ground on all fours last year and you said, uh-oh, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay, so I can't give you a specific one as I'm standing right here. Does that mean he wasn't concussed? You just said you think he's regularly concussed. So why are we playing this game? Do I remember a specific play where it looked like he was concussed? No. Do you? Because you think he's been concussed multiple times. Why do you need that from me? And I think players suffer injuries all the time that we don't see. I mean, does anyone in this room think he hasn't suffered multiple concussions?
No, I don't. Like, everyone in that league has all been concussed some point.
Give me a break. I don't, and not that Pete's this, you know, kind of Patriots fan, but there are Patriots fans out there who want to fight that thing. Like, somehow Brady's impervious to an injury that is suffered by football players everywhere on a regular basis. Somehow he doesn't get them? How's that possible? We continue with your call, 617-779-0985. The Patriots have also done something really cool, I think. Really cool. I'll tell you exactly what it is right after Hook's update here. There are no commercials.
Felger and Mazz. Felger and Mazz.